Today on Real Radio.
God says to the prophet Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. He's talking about the new life experience. And put in you a new spirit. I will take the old heart that you have of stone and put in a soft heart. A heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them.
You make me. Break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John, chapter 14. We'll be taking a look at verses 15 through 24. Here, Jesus, even though he knows he's headed for the Roman cross, takes the time to speak with his disciples. He tells them how to identify believers, makes some prophecies, and begins to allude to the Comforter. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called The Coming of the Holy Spirit.
Jesus introduces us to the teaching of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Possibly the most misunderstood teachings in all of the Bible belong to that of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. It ought not to be, but it's true. And the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, he is attributed with the events of creation. You can get that right in your very first book of the Bible, the Holy Spirit at creation. The forming of the nation Israel, the Holy Spirit was vital in that. The speaking forth of the prophets of God to his people, the Holy Spirit was in all of that. The conception of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit was there working. The Bible says that Jesus lived by the power of the Holy Spirit, who also, the Bible says, raised him from the dead. That is, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the key to the advent of the church. The Holy Spirit this morning is the absolute need of the church today. We have to be very careful, people, in the age in which you and I live in, listen, that we do not professionalize the church. We can so streamline the church, we can make it so presentable, we can make it so polished and perfect. You're thinking, well, not this church. But it's human nature to try to bring to you the best service possible. And that's fine. And you know what? If Rush Limbaugh can broadcast in excellence, as he puts it, the church ought to be able to bring forth ministry with excellence, don't you think? But here's the deal. Here's the difficult part of this. We are to bring you ministry excellent, yes, but constantly dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You and I can throw enough money at something to make it so perfect, to make it so nice, to make it so, right in your eyes, but leave out the power and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is a danger of any church work. Are you aware of that? It's a very scary and careful thing that you have to embark upon. Lord, what we're doing, may we do it in your strength. May we do it by your Spirit. And so the scripture, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Oh, it's a great verse. Not by might nor by power, but what, people? By my Spirit, saith the Lord. You guys, I've told you about the menorah that we got in Israel that's going to be like the little display in the new church foyer. It's in Hebrew, and that seven lampstand menorah coming out of a 1,796-pound stone from Jerusalem quarries. It's going to be beautiful. But the most important thing about it is written in Hebrew on the branch of the lampstands. You know what it says? Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's true church work. That's true Christian experience. And it is my prayer that this church, that myself, that you, be dependent upon the work of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 16, verse 7, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth," Jesus says, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, cannot come to you. Jesus, as you know, is in that upper room teaching, John chapter 14. He's announced to them that he's going to be going to the cross, that he's going to be going away. He's announced that he's going to be betrayed. Judas, having left the scene, it is now the 11 disciples. And Jesus gives this John chapter 14 teaching all the way through to the 16th chapter. And he says there, as we've read a moment ago, verse 7, chapter 16, it is to your advantage that I leave you. Can you imagine? You've had Jesus with you. You've been with him for 3.5 years. And he says to you, it's better for you that I go away. Jesus, are you sure? I mean, do you really know what you're talking about? Lord, I need you. Yes, that is so true, but I cannot be everywhere at the same time. Jesus was limited by his earthly body. So he says to the church then, he says to us now, it's better for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, I cannot send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He'll come to you. Just think, Jesus was localized, but on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit visited and stayed with all those who held to the gospel of Jesus Christ, even to the uttermost parts of the world, even to Chino Hills, Norco, Corona, even Rubidoux. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you live in Rubidoux, so the Holy Spirit goes with you. That's hard to imagine, but it's true. Amazing. Let's look at it together. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, that's another Judas that was in the group, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. Point number one in our study this morning, the coming of the Holy Spirit, is found in verses 15 to 16, and that is the purpose of the Holy Spirit. The purpose, jot it down in your note-taking. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is found in verses 15 and 16. The purpose of the Holy Spirit. Number one, we see that it is to strengthen us. The Holy Spirit has been sent people to strengthen us. He is our strength. As we mentioned a moment ago in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. You see, in our own natural strength, we cannot accomplish anything. Jesus is going to be teaching us that the Holy Spirit has come, and his primary purpose is to strengthen us who believe. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father. Very interesting. What's he saying? First of all, notice everybody, he's talking to believers. And he's saying, if you love me, and you say, oh, golly gee, I hope I love God. You know what? I always pray that prayer and wonder that thought as well. Lord, I hope I love you more and more. That's the cry of every believer. Aren't you kind of overwhelmed sometimes with the inadequacy of how you don't love God enough? Yeah, stay that way, people. The day that you show up and say, I love God so much, I mean, I just can't have any more room in my heart for God. We know that you're kind of messed up. Because we cannot love God enough. And we will forever go through this world feeling somewhat inadequate that we don't love God enough. But the thing is, listen, he says, if you love me, and technically in the Greek, it's since you love me. That changes it, doesn't it? Since you love me, oh yeah, I do love you. Great. He says, keep my commands. In Romans chapter 8, verse 5, the Bible says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. That is, if you live for the world, all you can think about is the world. And man, every one of us in this room know what that's like. It's a dead end for one thing. You say, man, you don't know what kind of night I had last night. It's a dead end. Oh, the world's got so much to offer me. You think. And if you're thinking that, you're probably really young. As people grow along, as people even acquire more money, more things, more experiences in life, an amazing thing begins to happen. They begin to look around and they have a dilemma. They think, you know what? This money doesn't satisfy me anymore. These cars don't satisfy me anymore. None of these things satisfy me. Quite frankly, you guys, honestly, we happen to live somewhat in an affluent area, and it's not uncommon for us to see a lot of Porsches or Mercedes, Beamers, and, there's a couple of people that have these Dodge Vipers. Those are pretty nice cars. But you know what? I pulled up alongside the blue one. Maybe you're here today. You got the blue one with the big white stripes over the top. Nice looking car! But you know what? If you don't have Jesus, I'm richer than you are. You can sit there and go, wong, wong, and I can sit there and go, you know, and hey, I'm richer than you are because I've got Jesus. I have Christ in my life. And you may sit there and rev those, 400 and some odd horses under your hood. And I may have my little pony. But I've got more power than you do because you are led by that car. That car drives you. You don't drive that car. You don't own that money. That money owns you. And you worry about it and you fret over it. There's no strength and power in that. The truth is, God says, since you love me, keep my commandments. We are so rich as believers and we're fulfilled. We've gone through the world and it's got nothing for us, nothing to offer anymore. It can rev up its cars. It could flaunt its things. It's nothing. We know that's fleeting. It's passing. It's like a vapor of smoke. Blessed is the man, the woman, who can possess their possessions rather than possessions possessing them. And you know when possessions are possessing them because they park it sideways way out in the parking lot. Or when your possessions possess you, you're so cheap. You've got all this money in the bank, but you squeak and complain. True story. Now, I guess I'm in a role of offending everybody here today. I'll just continue. Yesterday, had to go to Sports Chalet, and did you happen to see the line for Costco gas? Unbelievable. And I noticed that there's about a 7-cent, 10-cent value, at least at the gas station I go to. As I drove by there, there was a guy in a Porsche Boxster about 45 minutes away, still in line. And I'm thinking, either that guy has spent all of his money on that car and doesn't have any left, that he's got to spend an hour in line to save 7 cents a gallon, or he's so tight, he squeaks when he drives that car. I mean, his feet are probably underneath like Fred Flintstone saving gas. You know? Be careful that your possessions do not possess you. We need the strength of God in our life. Jesus says, since, really, if you love me, keep my commands. Listen, our love for God, our outward actions display the depth of our love for God. He shall strengthen us, listen, in obedience. The Lord does it. He strengthens us to obey him. And that's freedom. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's God under your hood. It's not a tiger in your tank. It's the Holy Spirit. And the desire that every believer has is that they might obey his commands. Now listen, you might say, Jack, aren't his commands tough and hard? No. Let me explain as we go through this. They're not grievous. They're not difficult. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to strengthen us. Remember that. Are you weak today? This morning we prayed with a couple who found out late last night that their son has a tumor. He's in the hospital. And this day, today, his graduation day. But he's in a very, very critical condition, situation at the ICU. Listen. They need strength. We can pray for them. We can condone. We can comfort. But the strength that they need comes from the Holy Spirit. We need to cry out to God in our moments and say, Lord, strengthen me with your Spirit. Number two, verse 16, the latter end, he comforts us. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to bring us comfort. And Jesus says, and he will give you another comforter. The word helper there in your Bible. Helper, comforter. The word in Greek is parakletos. It's a great word. It's a very, listen, interesting word, and it is an impossible word to translate in English. It doesn't happen in English. The best that we can do in English is to say the word helper or comforter. This word appears one more time regarding our text in Scripture when Paul the Apostle teaches us, as does John in his epistle to 1 John, that we have an advocate, parakletos. The word para in Greek is one who comes alongside. Kletos, to comfort or to, listen, actually argue in our defense. The advocate. Listen, some of you, certainly the church, we have several attorneys that work almost all the time for us. Why? Because they are defending us in property purchases or in situations. They come alongside and they take the law and they take the situation that you're in or that we're in, and they argue for our defense regarding the law. They take the law and they make it, or they apply it as the law is righteous and holy, supposed to be anyway, and make it beneficial to your case. Jesus says, I'm going to send another helper, the word helper, advocate, to argue your case. And you have in your Bible often the word comforter or helper. He's going to come alongside, para, you know, like parachute. It happens to be over your head. At least you want it over your head. Para, alongside. Parakletos, alongside you, the advocate. Jesus is saying, hey, I am your advocate, but I'm going away. And it's good for you that I am, because the Holy Spirit will come and be your new advocate. He will be alongside you. He will be in you. And the book of Acts teaches us he'll be upon you in strengthening, power, comfort, and to fight for your case. This is fantastic news. Listen, the disciples had never heard of such doctrine before, ever. This is brand new truth Jesus is giving them. By the way, the word another comforter, the word another is the Greek word allos, and it means another of the exact same kind. You can have, for example, the word homo in Greek is the same kind, but different type, male, female. It's the same human or humans, same family, but different gender, right? Now, with this word allos, is not a different gender. Jesus is saying the exact same ministry, you guys, that I've done with you, the Holy Spirit's going to come in exactly the same way. That's good news. Another advocate, helper. By the way, that's in 1 John 2:1. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have a parakletos, an advocate with the Father, and that is Jesus Christ, his righteous Son, to comfort through fellowship and togetherness. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit's going to be with us. And I want to ask you this morning, do you know, listen, this is a trick question. Do you know today that you have the Holy Spirit in you? If you do not know this, are you guys listening? Wake the person up next to you and then they can sleep after this. If you do not know for sure the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you are probably not his child. Do you know what that means? You say, well, you know, big deal. It is a big deal, because if you trip today on the curb going outside there and break your neck and die, you're going to go to hell. So you better listen. Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit's going to come and dwell within you. And by the way, throughout the Scripture, it tells us you're going to know that truth. You'll be completely rest assured of it. Now this morning, please don't let pride rob you from coming to Christ today. By the conclusion of this message, I'm going to give you an invite to come to Jesus. Don't sit here today and say, well, I hope he lives in me. My friend, today, when he moves into your life, you know it. And if you don't know it, don't let pride keep you from receiving Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's job today is to comfort the believer and to afflict the unbeliever. Afflict the unbeliever to bring them to salvation. Once you come to Christ, you are comforted by the Holy Spirit. This is very important. More on that as we approach the end. In Acts chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, Peter was preaching and he says that this is the stone which the builders rejected, speaking about Jesus, which has become the chief cornerstone, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. That's the power, the strengthening, the comforting of the Holy Spirit. If you've got the Holy Spirit in your life, there's going to be boldness for Christ in your world. Has nothing to do with personality. See, well, I'm not an auditory type person. I'm not extroverted in my speech. That's fine, and I understand that. But somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit, as he possesses you, will cause you to be bold in this life for Christ. If it's writing tracts or writing a letter to a friend, somehow there'll be boldness. Are you with me? It's very important. By the way, you've heard me use this word because I love it. And it's so our word. It's so not the world's word. And that is the word enthusiasm. To be possessed by God with activity. That's what that word means. In, theus, God. Indwelling, God creates action. Asm, activity. Should mark every believer's life. A form of enthusiasm. Very important. Well, listen. In the book of Ezekiel, way back in the book of Ezekiel, thousands of years ago, the prophet foretold the coming of the Holy Spirit. In verse 36, verse 26, God says through the prophet Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. He's talking about the new life experience. And put in you a new spirit. I will take the old heart that you have of stone and put in a soft heart, a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, giving us a reminder of an Old Testament passage that speaks of the coming power and function of the Holy Spirit. The title of our study, The Coming of the Holy Spirit, taken from John chapter 14 and verses 15 through 24. There's more to come with this study that looks at this passage on our next edition of Real Radio, so be sure and join us once again. Meanwhile, we remind you that you can hear this study once again. All you have to do is visit us at www.realradioactive.org. In fact, you can hear past broadcasts of Real Radio, and you can become a subscriber to our podcasts as well. Find out more. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. Now, of course, this Sunday is commonly known as Easter Sunday, but of course here at Real Radio in Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, we prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday. And we're going to have quite a celebration. Now, just a reminder that we have only one service this Resurrection Sunday. It gets underway at 9 a.m. And, of course, many of you are going to Sunrise Service. So, again, we're only going to be having one service, and that gets underway at 9 a.m. here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. To find out more, give us a call at 909-393-7100. Again, our number, 909-393-7100. Or simply to find out the details, you can just visit us at realradioactive.org and click on Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and it'll take you right to the place that gives you all the proper information. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and your financial participation. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside. you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.